So the third text for tonight comes from John 12, and I'll read you from 27 to 38. And the Lord said, "Now my soul is troubled, but what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" So here we are at the end of a decidedly unhappy year, and with all of the unfortunate changes that have come upon us in 2020, and also maybe not such great prospects as far as world events anyway for next year. It's just good, I think, to remind each other of the main thing, right? It's a simple thing. It's not very complicated. And that's this, that although the world seems to be darkening, we have our source of light, right? We have a light. Like the Egyptian plague, right? All around there was thick darkness, but in the homes of the Israelites, they had light, okay? Where's the picture here? This nighttime trail through the darkness. You can sort of envision this person with a little globe of light around them, you know, and everything else is dark. And, you know, as long as you remain in the light, you'll be kept from falling, right? You'll be safe. So to me, this is a very simple principle. It applies in no matter what the circumstances, right? Walk in the light, lest the darkness overtake you. Okay, you get out of the light, you get away from the light, you're going to have trouble, but in the light, there's safety as we travel. So this was from John. Of course, you know, if you've read John, light, you know, is one of his big themes, right? Both in his gospel and in his letters. We have this bold declaration of Jesus and very precious to us in John 8:12. "I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life," right? You shall have light for possession. You shall have the light of life, something to use and something to see by. John 12:46, he said, "I have come a light into the world so that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness," right? You don't have to abide in darkness. And John 1:5, "The light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it." And the darkness did not overcome it. So this year, people started to farewell each other in a different way. When you encounter somebody at the store, or sometimes, you know, even talking on the phone, or you have a conversation face-to-face with somebody, and it's time to say goodbye. This year, you know, people used to stop, you know, you used to say, "Take it easy, have a good one, take care." So this year, people started saying, "Stay safe," right? Which you never said that before, right? Stay safe. That's part of the vocabulary now, which, you know, I understand it's a well wish, right? Because we all know it's dangerous out there. There was a cop show, which I was too young to see, but I think in the 80s, I think it was Hill Street Blues. I never watched it, I don't remember, but I think that in that show, you know, it's a cop show. At the beginning of the day, all the cops get their assignments, and then the sergeant says, "Okay, be careful out there," right? I mean, this is a dangerous job, so, you know, be careful out there. People are generally a lot more on edge than they were at the end of 2019. People who never used to be on edge before, you know, never were worried about getting sick before, you know, are a lot more concerned about being safe. So, you know, you have the, you know, safety measures, protective equipment, you know, the alcohol on the hands and, you know, everything. We've had plenty of opportunity to talk about the emotional and spiritual fallout of, like, this whole worldwide situation, what it has done to people, how it has changed people, changed the way that they relate to others, you know, to strangers and even to loved ones. And I said at the beginning of this, I think this is going to do a lot of social and emotional harm if people start thinking of each other as every other person as a potential hazard to them, and you have to be cautious. And I think it's, you know, I said, I think this is going to have a kind of corrosive effect on the glue that holds society together. You know, the way, like, go look at the bricks in the wall of the other building, and you see how over the years, you know, the acid has sort of, you know, the mortar is, you know, deteriorating. And I just feel like this, the bond that holds a neighborhood together or holds a holds society together is kind of being, right? Besides that eating away at the social glue, there's also, of course, you know, on the other side of it, this kind of resentment from people who, you know, want to be together and they're forbidden from being together and, you know, they're forbidden from going around just doing the basic things of daily life, you know, just going out to the coffee shop or just going to visit family or I just want to go shopping, you know, but you're forbidden from this, you're forbidden from the movies and so on. So you've put all that mess together and the mood is just not good. And so I think we're all kind of aware of, you know, the damage being done. Some of it, I think, is long term. And I think it's possible that some of it is not going to be repaired at all. So, you know, when somebody says stay safe, like, my gut reaction is I wish I had never heard this phrase, you know, because it's just emblematic of the whole 2020 mess, right? The whole frustration and all of the things that have changed, you know, that's just it in a nutshell, right? Stay safe. But, you know, at the cost of how many of the basic elements of life, you know, the things that make life worth living. You know, I don't know if I want to stay safe. You know, I want to have the old way back. You know, the government tells you to stay safe. They publish literature and they put up signs, you know, stay safe, wash your hands and all of that. You know, that's just been absorbed. Like I said, it's become part of the vocabulary now. And it just encapsulates the idea that the best thing for us all is to make sure you preserve your health, even if it costs, you know, some of the humanness, the closeness, like, that's what's best. We know we have to survive. So, you know, it's not a Christian movie, but I've kind of thought it might be fun, you know, some night maybe put up, maybe I'll just invite you to my house, you know, the Disney movie WALL-E, which, you know, will survive here in outer space on this spaceship. You know, we should be better if we didn't go back to Earth. Right, out here we can survive, but, you know, the captain of the ship says, I don't want to survive, I want to live. So anyway, I don't want to describe the whole movie to you, but there's that idea, you know, I want more than just bare survival. Okay, so to me, stay safe kind of embodies that mindset of, you know, as long as we avoid getting sick, we can give up a lot. So I just, you know, this is my opinion, maybe I have a different opinion, but, you know, we remember what the Lord said about how you can love your life so much that you end up losing it and in a worse way than you thought. Okay, so, you know, to put it in another set of words, you know, am I a soldier? Right? Am I a soldier of the cross? You know, soldiers have to engage. Soldiers can't say safety first, can they? Okay, they have a mission and you know, missions are by their very nature, you know, a little bit hazardous. A Christian life is an active life, right? It's an interactive life, right? Not just active, it's interactive. Human beings are made for interaction, right? God has made us that way at the beginning. He says it's not good for a man to be alone. So Christian love, by definition, is an interactive thing. And to love necessarily means that your own safety is a lesser priority. It can't be the top priority, right? Love, by its nature, is not safe. So C.S. Lewis wrote, he has a book called The Four Loves, and I think this is just tremendous what he wrote. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Right? Love anything, and your heart will be wrung, that's with a W, right? Wrung, like you wring out a cloth. Your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, right, intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and with little luxuries, and avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe, right, safe, in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. Okay, it will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. Okay, to love is to be vulnerable. Okay, so to me that's marvelous. The safety that matters most to the Christian then is it's a different kind of safety, right? The safety of physical health can't be the top. I mean, it's up there, right? It can't be safety first, I think. But, you know, it's in there somewhere, but just can't be first. But the safety that matters most is the safety of the spirit, right? Because out there in the darkness of the world, there are who knows how many hazards and pitfalls and you know, let's just say viruses that threaten to contaminate or harm the spirit. Okay, and we don't want our spiritual being, well-being, damaged. Okay, and so this is why we have to remain in the light, right? It's why we need to have the light. It's why having the light is such a precious gift from God. Okay, when it comes to the matter of self-preservation in a physical sense, we're finding that maybe the two kinds of protection can be counter to each other. Okay, so all year long, and like with no end in sight, many, many Christians have neglected the care of their soul and have neglected the health of their congregation out of a priority for their personal health, right? I got to stay safe. That's what everybody says, you got to stay safe. But my opinion is there is another way in which you're making yourself unsafe, right? You're putting yourself at risk, right? If you're not keeping your oil filled and your wick trimmed, your light is going to grow dim and it's going to flicker. And the more time that goes by, the more the darkness is going to encroach and you're going to have a different kind of sickness. So in 2 John, John says this, look to yourselves that we do not lose the things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Okay, so spiritual health is something that you have to maintain, right? Jesus says, while you have the light, walk in the light, lest the darkness overtake you. And if I'm my brother's keeper, I want to be concerned for my brother's spiritual health too. And when I say brother, I mean my congregation. Okay? When I start thinking that staying home from church is a means to protect myself, when I start thinking that going to church is putting myself at risk, I think maybe I have a problem there. You know, you're protecting one thing, but you're putting at risk the other thing. And one of the Ecuadorian missionaries, I think it was Mr. Elliott, although it could have been Nate Saint, said something like, he who loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose is no fool, something like that, right? He who loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose, he's no fool. And I think the church really needs to ponder how, you know, in this continuing situation, Christ's words may apply when he says, you know, the time is coming when the love of many will grow cold, right? And many will drift away from the faith. Is that going on? Has it been going on during 2020? And what's the prospects for next year? You know, love grows cold when the thoughts of a person turn in toward himself. And overemphasizing the one kind of safety at the cost of the other, I think, is a danger to the church. So kind of just like Paul said, you know, people have sort of been trying to keep their chin up, and you know, well, hopefully 2021 is going to be better, and hopefully all of this business will go, you know, go away soon, and things will get back to normal. I don't know. Maybe it's because of the news I read or whatever. You know, I'm just not very optimistic that the people who control such things are going to let things go back to normal anytime soon. And I think, you know, the better part of wisdom would advise us to prepare spiritually for something of a long haul through not normal times. Okay, like I said, it's not because I don't think the virus won't go away. I think it will go away, but it just seems that one crisis always leads to another in the hands of people who make it their life's desire to rule over other people. Okay, there's, if you've been around long enough, you know that there's always something that people are supposed to panic about. And, you know, if you were around in the early 70s, it was overpopulation, right? The world is going to be too many people, there's not enough food. And then it was global cooling, and then it was, you know, the hole in the ozone, and it was acid rain, and then, you know, it's, okay, now it's a virus. And it's just, it's the energy crisis, right? And there's always something to panic about. Y2K, Y2K turned out to be a cemetery problem this week, believe it or not. So there's one famous wag who said this: the whole aim of politics, the whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by menacing it with an endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary, right? And I think he has an astute point. And maybe they're not, maybe all the dangers aren't imaginary, but, you know, you have to admit that if you've watched the news for the last 40 or 50 years, there's always some, you know, human global crisis that must be addressed immediately, and, you know, you have to turn over control of your life to the government. Now, the guy who said that, he's not a Christian, maybe not even a nice guy, but, you know, to me, he had an insight into human nature that says, you know, the strong will use their strength to retain their strength, right? The powerful will use their power to retain their power. So my point is, okay, what if that should be the prospect for the year ahead or the years ahead? What safety are we optimistic about? Okay, what are we glad to have? What's our precious treasure? And what shall we rejoice in? Say things don't go back to how they were. Right, say, you know, the economy tanks and, you know, things stay closed and there, you know, you just can't have your old life back. What is our precious possession? I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. He shall have the light of life. As long as you have the light, walk in the light, lest the darkness overtake you. Right? You have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. And, you know, Paul picks up that idea. He says, you know, you have the light, hold it forth, may hold fast to it. In a dark and gloomy generation, shine like lights in the world. You are sons of light, sons of the day. Okay, so still a dark world. It still needs light bearers, right? Like this little person. When Jesus, he said, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But now he's gone back to heaven. He's given us his Holy Spirit. Now you're the light of the world. Okay, so we learn from watching him, from watching Christ, it's not that safe to be the light of the world. And, you know, that was the end of this last reading here. Although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, fulfilling the word of Isaiah, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Okay, light is in the world, but men love darkness. Okay, but nevertheless, I send you, right? We have a job to do, right? We have a mission. Your mission can't be done if you're bundled up at home, right? And the Lord said, I will keep you safe. As far as safe, I will keep you safe in the way that matters most. Not a hair of your head will perish, right? And he said, I know the Father's command is everlasting life. So lastly, you know, I just started, Pastor Ken from Deerfield Presbyterian gave me this big fat book, The History of the 14th Century. Okay, the subtitle says The Calamitous 14th Century. So have you ever heard of the Hundred Years' War? Okay, from 1337 to 1453, that's 116 years that there was war between England and France and just tore apart Europe. And at the beginning of that, in 1348, about 10 years after the war started, that's when the Black Plague struck Europe and killed a third of the population of all of Europe. Okay, a third of the population. You know, the book says, you know, awful government is everywhere. You know, terrible, terrible corruption in the church. Like, everything that the church can do for you is for sale. You know, from forgiveness of your sins to, you know, pardon so that you can marry your cousin, or everything is for sale. You know, human lives aren't worth a dime. There's just, you know, bands of bandits marauding through the countryside, and just a terrible time of wreckage and chaos for a century. But, you know, I stop and I think the Word of God survived this century, right? The gospel is the same. You know, there were some believers at the beginning and there were some believers at the end. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the light still shines. Like, the gospel survived all of these centuries. And in the light, there is safety for your soul, no matter what else may happen. Okay, because, you know, just be glad you didn't live in the 14th century, right? A lot worse things than the coronavirus can happen, you know, from war to, you know, just marauding murderers to whatever, social collapse. Telling a person just, okay, stay safe, you know, I wish you well, stay safe, that's just, you know, that wouldn't have cut it back in the 14th century. So we know the Son of God has come. We know he's brought light into the world. We know that, like he said, whoever walks in the light as he is in the light, the darkness will not overtake them. It says in 1 John, the evil one cannot touch them. And then to close, Paul said, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Okay, so we trust the Lord to keep us safe. Like, I want you to stay safe, but of course I want you to, I want your souls to stay safe. And that means you got to stay in the light. It means we've got to maintain our spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we go into 2021, we're just going to confirm our love for him and our devotion to him, to stay in the light, to trust and obey, and to walk with him. All right, let's pray, and then I have our last two that we always finish off the year with. So, but first, let's pray. Father, thank you, as always, for your kindness to us, for your everlasting faithfulness. Lord, from one generation to another, you are God. You've watched over your people, the descendants of Adam, from the very beginning. You've watched over your saints, Lord, ever since Christ returned to heaven. You've given us your Spirit to guide us and to show us the right way. So we thank you for one another. We thank you, Lord God, for the consolation and hope of the gospel. When the year is complete, Lord, thank you for work accomplished and for the gospel shared with many people, new people met and blessed, and the people that have been a blessing to us. And as we go into another year, Father, we trust you and just ask you to empower us and establish the work of our hands. We pray in Christ. Amen.